everybody. Welcome to episode 71 of Game Over Nation. I'm your host, Javi Rodriguez. With me this week is Ryan De La Rosa.
Hello.
And Dylan Rausch.
Hola.
And our totally unpaid intern, Gabe Philbin.
Ho ho hoops. I did what Dylan usually does.
Yeah, you did.
Suck it.
No. Seeing as how this is like the last week we can record in the year 2012, we find it appropriate to talk about our favorite games that came out this year. Not the best games per se, but the games that we had the most fun with or we thought were most special. It's very interesting. We like listed them out and there was very few overlap or very few games that both all of us had on our list. So we're very different gamers and I think that's a good thing.
I'm the best one.
I think it's the worst thing. I hate all of you. I think it's terrible. You're all stupid.
Yeah.
How about that?
You know, Game Over Nation, if Ryan had control, would just be a mech fan site.
Yep.
Oh,
Let's
no!
Do it.
I'm going
none
to
of my,
kill
None
myself.
Of my games are mech-centric.
I don't know, man. You certainly move like a robot in Kingdom of Aluminum.
They have mech undertones.
Very high mech undertones.
Very high mech undertones.
I see your mech agenda.
You're slowly trying to take us over. Easing it in. Start with those little blogs about Mech Warrior Online. A catapult or something. I don't know what a catapult's doing in a mech game. Seems a little old-fashioned.
Yeah, totally. But,
well, it worked in Return of the Jedi, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's
yes,
about
it
the only thing that worked in Return of the Jedi. Am I right? Boom!
Oh,
boom!
Oh, I get it. Oh, it's a bad movie.
Games, right?
Yes, the
plan that's what
to
we're here to talk about.
The Death Star's shield generator worked out pretty well, too.
You've got to intensify forward firepower.
They just sent a California Redwood right down the shaft of the Death Star, and it was like, fuck! We can't handle this kind of wood.
California is in Endor. You didn't know that, did you?
Obviously.
Mm. Obviously.
Obviously.
God, I hate it.
That slaps me on the knee.
Alright guys, let's talk about our favorite games of the year. We're each going to try to pick one game in particular that we really want to elaborate on. And then after that we're going to go around and talk about honorable mentions. We don't have all day to talk to you guys, otherwise we would.
If I did have time, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, someone's got to get hats, so you guys would have to wait.
Hats.
TF2 is calling.
Gabe.
Hmm.
What is the game that you want to talk about?
I feel a little weird almost saying it, but Sound Shapes.
You monster.
Yeah. I'm a terrible person.
Idiot.
Never even heard or seen this game. Heard of
him. I'm up there with Stalin for terrible people.
He has not heard the sounds. He has not seen the shapes.
Everybody's going gaga over this game, and I don't even know what it is.
Me neither.
They're like, it's a rhythm-based platformer. I'm like, oh, so it's like Bit Trip Runner? No. Oh. What?
No, Bit Trip Runner, that's like... is that really a platformer so much as of it being like a death-annoying trap?
It's a running simulator.
Yeah, it's a rhythm-based platformer, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
Like, you just try
but
to get...
With Sound Shapes, it really didn't do anything wrong. That's what makes it like stand out to me.
Is it a 2D platformer?
Yeah.
Damn it.
It changes like how you think about platforming, especially when you're building a level, because like the entire objective of the game is just to make music, and you just do that by going through each little stage of a level, and it's just
And, like, each part, doesn't it, like, kind of add a new rhythm mm-hmm. line
yeah.
to the so, like, overall song? So by the end of the level, you've made a full song.
Yeah. That Sound Shapes changed how we think of, like, a common thing in games we play. Like, platforming is just jump, get to the end of the level. But in Sound Shapes, it's figuring out what's the song is going to end up being. It's I don't know, it's hard to really put into words how much I like this game. I mean, you better find your chain because it's off of it. I don't know.
Well, I'm sold.
So it's this is fucking hard. I have it written down, but I can't really explain it.
Is your favorite game this year, and you don't know why?
It's really hard to explain. So I think about it this way. You've built a level in Little Big Planet, right?
No way. Yeah.
Okay. So, like, what did you think about when you, like, first started creating a level? Just, like, how to get Sackboy from point A to point B.
What are obstacles that are engaging or interesting?
Yeah. Mm. And in Sound Shapes, before you do any of that, you set up a song to play in the background. So you don't set any platforms first. Like, you, where you place a note determines what it's going to sound like. So if you place it up top, it's going to be a higher note. Place it down bottom, it's going to be a lower note or a different kind of drum, anything like that. So you have to, like, test out what sounds you want to put into a level and then build a level around that. And that's, like, my favorite thing about the game, in that it just...
So it's kind of like in Super Mario Galaxy, where you grab the notes and it plays little bits of an old Mario song, like as you collect each note.
Yeah, like that little like chain of notes that come around.
Yeah. And as you get each note, it plays a different part of it.
Yeah, except it loops, so you're like kind of limited in what you can do. So you have to really think about how many notes you want in this part of the level, how many you're going to keep spreading out, because it just keeps overlapping with each other.
Are you some sort of musician, Gabe? Song. How were you creating melodies that were interesting?
I don't know. I made a level, and I liked it.
Gabe, you need some of those Mario... Ba-ba-ba!
I don't think those noises are in Sound Shapes.
Well, you're not a real musician, then.
Yeah.
Obviously.
If you can't make turtles dance in rhythm with your songs, then I don't want to hear
it. You got some serious problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like on top of all that, like the obstacles in the game can make sounds too, depending on what it is. So like little Goomba-esque things that kind of look like little flowers, they just go like they're like little beatboxing enemies that just kind of go back and forth.
Yeah, well, some of the obstacles, like, for some reason I remember something that maybe wasn't, like, lasers, but something, like, electrified, but it, like, did it in rhythm with the song.
Yeah, you can, like, you can pick the rhythm of, like, a laser shooting out of, like, a wall. So, like, depending on what your song is, you can have it just, like, fire really quickly and then stop, or just go at slow intervals.
Yeah, and you can, so, like, learn to time your jumps and your platforming with,
yeah,
by the rhythm of the music.
Yeah, when you first like start playing Sound Shapes, it's all kind of odd. Like it control, like it's sort of slow moving controls.
It's a little floaty.
And, yeah, it's sort of like playing Little Big Planet for the first time, where you almost expect like Mario like controls, and you don't get that. But it like you get used to it really quick, and it just all works. I love the idea of creating music and then a game around that, instead of the other way around.
You ever played Electroplankton?
Electroplankton? No. Mm-hmm.
It's a DS game.
That sounds like an episode of SpongeBob.
Oh, I think it's Electroplankton. Yeah, it's a DS game all about making music with the game.
Hmm.
Look it up, kids. Anyways.
So all right. Sound Shapes.
Fascinating. I'm sold. Ryan, what is your favorite game this year?
My favorite game this year? Well, it's kind of hard to come down, but I think probably the game that I had the most fun with start to finish, and then also all the stuff attached to it, like multiplayer and whatnot, was probably Halo 4. I know, shocking, right?
You're so mainstream.
Blockbuster game was my favorite? So weird.
Get out.
Hey, our goal is not to be cunning. it was to pick our favorite game, and that was mine. I don't know. I've always really liked Halo, as many people probably have. Like all the time spent playing multiplayer, the the campaign has always been, I mean, it's never been really long or any kind of, well, I've said this before, like, I think Halo is a good story told badly in the games, because there's a really cool universe there, and I've actually been, like, reading some of the Forerunner books, and those are really cool, like, the whole backstory. The unfortunate thing is, for Halo 4, is that a lot of the what I'm reading in the books is backstory for that game that would have been really cool had they put it, you know, like, in the game.
So you, like, knew what was going on
yeah.
and why you were supposed to care about anything.
Yeah, there's characters in the game, and you're just like, who's this dude? And everyone seems to know who this dude is, but I don't. I'm sitting there playing the game. I have no clue. And I've played all the other games, and it made no sense. And you kind of fill it in as you go, but not completely. And like,
not enough to figure
to really
it out.
Pull it all together. But just the shoot, like the game, like most Halo games, are just always really solid shooting mechanics. And lots of, you know, cool weapons, cool abilities. The multiplayer is phenomenal, as always. Mm-hmm. Played a lot of that the first few weeks it was out. I really want to go back, and I haven't even really touched the Spartan Ops, which is another sort of multiplayer cooperative mode. But I think it offered just as much challenge as any of the Halo games. I know, Javi, you said that it's kind of like, go push that button. And yeah, I mean, that's always been super obvious. And it's super obvious here. Like, you get somewhere and it's like, oh no, this thing has
to here.
You gotta go shut this thing down over there, and there's two of them. Yeah. But I think something they did good was, like, if there's, you know, like, there's a lot of parallel systems in the Halo universe where you have to go hit this one button and then this other button because there's two things fucking up the thing you're trying to do. And but they did a good job of, like, making each direction different. Like, you need to go hit these two buttons, but the journey there is different, you know, both directions.
See, I just started the game tonight, actually.
Yeah.
And I can tell you immediately that, God, it's so refreshing to fight the, what are they called? The Forerunners?
Elites.
The Elites. Fuck the Elites. No. Yeah, because, like, you start out just playing, just killing.
Killing those
Covenant.
Like orange guys. Okay.
Yeah. The glow.
Oh, yeah. The Prometheans.
Prometheans. That's
yeah.
It.
The Prometheans.
Sure. Whatever. The dudes with the skeleton faces and the flying discus Tron guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, it's so refreshing to fight those guys because it's like fighting Covenant for the first, you know, hour or so, and I'm like, oh, God. Yeah. There's a bunch of little grunts and they squeal and here's a brute. Or whatever. I don't know. The wolf of
the elites. No the elites are there.
Sorry, elites. Yeah. There's the elites. And you shoot them until their shield disappears and then you melee them. It's like, I've been doing this for like 8 years. Fuck. And I'm like, so, like, within an hour, I'm like, God, this is the same shit. And then all of a sudden, oh, here comes this new enemy. And their weapons are actually useful. And I don't want to fucking kill myself, like, with the Covenant weapons. They're terrible.
Yeah. Well, then they get... well, okay. On the weapons, I think they did some weird things with the weapons. Because they got rid of, like, the plasma rifle and gave you the... I can't remember.
Storm rifle.
Yeah, it's only been in one other game.
But, no, it's only been in this one, I'm pretty sure.
No, it's been in one other. It has been in another.
Well, that thing
it might have been ODST.
Green nub that... Pow, pow, pows.
It's basically kind of like the plasma rifle.
It's the storm rifle.
Okay, but I'm saying, he's asking which one is it. It's kind of like that. It fires rapidly.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I didn't really like that one. That one kind of sucked. But they did add some more kick to the plasma pistol, which I thought was kind of cool. Like,
well,
it actually was a useful weapon.
When you, it's a useful weapon when you just shoot it like a pistol. But if you charge it, it never kills anybody, and then you can't fire it again.
It's not meant to kill anybody.
It's
supposed to
take down shields and defend and disable vehicles, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, that's cool.
A full charge just shuts down a vehicle now, and that's, like, amazing.
Something that was really cool, especially, like, I played through that game on Legendary co-op, because I don't think I have the patience to do Legendary by myself, so I played through it on co-op.
I still need to do that.
But, was, like, some of those Promethean guys get really difficult later in the game. Actually, I think they're the most difficult, like, the first time you encounter them. Because you're encountering nothing but the guys that have the Watchers, which are the little repair drones that hover over them and heal them. Mm-hmm. and can also revive them. So just a word of advice, take those out first.
Those things are so cool.
But
especially like you start damaging the repair drone, and they're like, fuck this. And
they run off.
That's great. Yeah. I'm like, holy shit, annoying. That's awesome.
And there's some levels later where you're like super exposed and the enemies are kind of have all this cover and you're trying to pick them off and they've got the repair drones and it like forces you to go into where they are. Like there's no staying back. And cause like the Promethean shields are really strong. So I don't know, later in the game, they get really difficult to deal with multiples of them. And it's a good challenge. Like you feel good after you, and it's like everyone that goes down feels like a big accomplishment. You kill one, and now you're only dealing with two instead of three, and it's like, oh, thank God.
They're interesting to fight, you know? Yeah. I like their attack pattern. I like how they're intelligent. Also, the dogs that come with them in packs, like, those are... Yeah. I don't know, those really help build up the tension. Those
were fun as shit to kill, because you can... Like, once you kind of get the guns down, like, you can one-hit kill them, but you have to hit them square in the head. Mm-hmm. And so, like, there's just a lot of, like, seeing how many, like, you can sweep across the screen and see how many you can pop in one pass, like, as you're going. And that was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. But what I was saying, like, with the co-op, my buddy Chuck and I were playing through it. It was like, that plasma pistol, it was like, those Prometheans were so tough, it was just, I'd grab a plasma pistol, he'd have the light rifle, and I would just run up with a charged plasma pistol, pop him, and then he would finish him off. So you didn't know it had to switch weapons, and we were just trying to... The hardest parts of the game, like, that's kind of how we got through it, was just that teamwork and that cooperative play.
For me, Halo 4, like, what I wanted was, like, more out of the story, because in, like, Halo Reach, you get a good gameplay, and, like, okay story, and then awesome multiplayer, and that's what it's essentially been since the start. And Halo 4, like, they took a couple different, what's the word? Like, I don't know, just different, like, steps, or, like, it took a different direction with the, like, how they told the story. Like, they had a lot more cutscenes, and, like, they really, like, used a camera more instead of just being locked in Master Chief's helmet. I thought that was interesting, but it all, like, added up to essentially being Lost, where they propose a lot of questions, and then you really, really hope they're going to answer them at the end, and they just don't.
Going back to what Ryan said about how, like, Halo has always been a good story told badly.
Badly.
They took steps forward. I mean, from what I've seen so far, I mean, keep in mind.
I think they definitely made progress. Yes,
they made progress, but they're still. Like, I'll tell you right now, I mean, I'm jumping through portals, and Master Chief, and I guess we're trying to stop some UN and SC ship from getting sucked into the planet like we did or something? It's so, like, unclear what the fuck we're doing, and what are these portals? Why are we jumping
through
these
portals? I think that all made sense to me. Like, you're trying to keep the ship out because there's
but, like,
a thing there.
I don't know. I don't feel like I was... told clearly enough where we are. And like, he's like, are we in the proven blah, blah, blah? And she's like, no, this is as close as I could warp you. I'm like, wait, but we're in what? And also, like, we got sucked into a giant metal planet, and then all of a sudden the sky is blue and you're on, like, in a grassy field. Wait, so is that inside the planet? I guess. And then we're jumping through portals and it's completely different environments. They look great. I like everything, but I don't know where I am and what the weight of what I'm doing is. The only thing I know that's clear to me is that we're trying to warn this ship before it gets sucked into the metal planet too. That's all I know. And then there's this, like, ball that's floating over a fucking pit of lava. I don't know. Like, I just feel like the positive steps forward in storytelling that they've done has been in the character performances. Like, they gave, like, it's the same voice actress doing Cortana, but, like, she actually has some emotion going on there, you know? They give her something to fucking do other than just bark orders, you know?
She seems a lot more. I think some of her interaction with Master Chief is really good, like, especially when she starts I guess a spoiler. I don't know. But when she starts talking about rampancy and how long she's been in commission and how many years it takes for rampancy to kick in, and like, I don't know. I thought that was kind of a cool little conversation that they have.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think the characters aren't actually characters, or they're trying to be. You know, like, I think that 343 did a great job with that, but I think it would be nice if it was a little more clear what the fuck I was doing.
Well, I think something that was unfortunate was, like, now that, especially that I'm reading these books, like, the Didact is a super interesting character and, like, plays a pretty huge role, like, in the history of...
The fuck is a Didact?
The Didact?
Yeah. Like,
that's the main enemy in the game.
The Prometheans? Gabe didn't know that.
No.
I don't know that.
Oh, Puffy Face?
I guess.
The big muscly guy that you release?
Yeah, that's the Didact.
Okay, yeah, Puffy Face.
Okay, Puffy Face. But yeah, like, he has a huge role in the Halo universe, and it's so weird that they didn't, like, elaborate on any of that. And, like, later there's a little bit that you get, but, like, it's nowhere near... I want to say, like, two-thirds of the way through the game, like, you get a pretty big revelation, but it's so... It's kind of understated to the point where you kind of almost go, wait, what? What did you just say? Like, and... Because it was so... It's so not... I don't think it's emphasized well enough. But yeah, it's just... It's unfortunate for the story in that game that they didn't explore that background a little bit better, because he really is a cool character, and like I said, he has a huge impact on the Halo universe and a lot of what's going on and how the humans got to where they are and the war with the Covenant and all
Maybe
of that.
Maybe he'd, like, be a cool character if they got a good fucking writer.
I feel like too much information is just casually mentioned once in a voiceover while you're in a fucking firefight. You know, like...
Oh, there's no game worse at that than Borderlands, man. God. Every story point in that game is shouted while you can't hear anything. But, yeah, I understand. It's. But overall, really fun game. I mean, I thought a really good game, and that was... probably one that I've had more fun with this year than anything else.
It's a beautiful game. It's the most visually impressive game I've seen this year.
Yeah, it does look really, really good.
And it looks,
especially when you're on the planet and you come out over that the first structure you see when you come out over that cliff. Mm-hmm. Like you walk up to a cliff and there's this huge, like, what looks like a Forerunner structure in the background, and you're looking out over the planet. It's pretty fucking impressive.
I don't know, man. You gotta look at Far Cry 3 if you're gonna talk about best visuals for this year.
No, I haven't.
I look at Far Cry 3 and I don't... I mean, it looks good. I'm just saying that it doesn't look... Like, I remember seeing Crysis and going, holy shit, that's a video game? I mean, and so I look at Far Cry and I'm probably wrong. I'm sure I am. But it doesn't look better than what I remember Crysis looking like.
You're wrong. Yeah. You are.
Well, yeah, okay. That being said, I mean, art design sometimes is, most of the time, more important. Yeah. And Halo 4 is more imaginative and creative and just beautiful colors everywhere. It's like, oh, man.
There's... In fact, my game is the king of art design, but that'll wait.
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know, I think we've said plenty about Halo.
Oh, will it? Because I think it's coming up right now.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
Dylan with the 6-year-old game.
It's well, I'm sorry that this 6-year-old game is better than the rest of the shit I'm playing this year.
I just find this funny.
I'm going with the HD Okami. What? What? It's the best Zelda game to come out since Ocarina of Time.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, it's better than Wind Waker.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No. Okay. Fuck you.
No.
It's
Combat
No
Kami is just pristine.
It's unique. It looks good. It's funny.
Okay. Okay.
It's got some damn good mechanics.
Okay.
I mean, that drawing...
Are you describing Wind Waker or Okami? Because it sounds like Wind Waker.
How does it sound like Wind Waker?
It's good looking. It's funny. It's got great mechanics.
Wind Waker had a lot of reused stuff from the past games.
But it had a grappling hook.
Checkmate!
Checkmate.
It had a grappling hook. You got a grappling hook.
Boom!
You can tie yourself with vines to these flowers, and it yanks you up in the sky.
But you have this massive ocean and all these islands to explore. It's like the world at your fingertips, and it's up to you if you'd like to see what's there.
And how fun was it sailing the seven seas?
I loved it.
I love that.
I really fell in love with
that's
that.
Just like... That's
I've
like
never
the most
played
relaxing
Okami,
thing.
So I really can't say much.
I've played like
well,
three,
it's
4 hours.
It's up to you, Ryan. It's on the PSN for 20 papes.
If
it goes on sale, I'll pick it up.
Yeah, when maybe hopefully it goes on sale in the winter. There is a winter sale coming up. But Dylan, discuss Okami, please.
Oh well, I it's just incredibly. I wouldn't say. Actually, I would. It's incredibly deep. It seems pretty shallow at first, and then as you kind of delve into it and get further and further in the game, there's more shit to do. Combat is incredibly simple, yet all the drawing techniques kind of flesh it out. And you use those for almost everything. And... I just think there's a lot of shit in that game. There's a that it's a hefty game. I got about halfway and I thought I was at the end of the game already. I was about halfway through the game and there was still an incredible amount of content left.
Which, I got to the part where like you get that new weapon and I'm like, "Wait, so I'm not going to have this green disc with the fire coming out of it forever?" And instead it was like a blue disc with bananas coming out of it, I think. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
When you equip the new disc thingy on your back, this new weapon, it looked like a bunch of yellow bananas sticking out of it. I don't know.
Oh, you got to the part where you get the rosary beads.
Yeah, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. That game is weird. But... it was pretty cool, I guess.
It's definitely worth taking a bite out of it.
Oh. Oh.
Ah, ha, ha, ha.
I mean, I played Okami Den more than I played Okami.
I had a hard, extremely hard time getting into that.
Yeah, like, I don't know how many hours I put into it, but all I kept thinking to myself was, when is this going to end? How much longer are they going to make me do this shit?
Yeah. There's a lot of collecting, so if that's kind of your thing, you would definitely like this.
I do like Banjo-Kazooie.
I think you'd like this. It's kind
yeah,
of
like,
a,
I do want to try it again.
It really
on
is.
PS3.
It's a Zelda game with new mechanics.
Yeah, I remember reading about stuff when it first came out. And then after I played it, I just called bullshit on, like, every review I read. They were like, people call this a Zelda killer, but it never aims out to be. It's like, fuck you, no, this is a Zelda game, but just, it's, they did some things different. Like, it's the same structure
different.
As a Zelda game.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a bad thing. It's just,
I don't know if...
I wouldn't say it's
how
a fully fleshed out one. It's more of...
No.
It's
no,
an adventure game.
Yeah.
And I would say it's probably closer to a platformer than a Zelda game. And I know that's up Javi's alley.
Ooh!
But, yeah, I had a few games on my mind this year, but this is the one that kind of stood out. This is the one I played the most of this year. And this is just since I got my new PlayStation, which was only about, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks?
Black Friday, whenever that was.
Yeah, I really haven't played a lot of... Like, I played a lot of Borderlands 2 with Gabe, and that was kind of... I was like, maybe that... No, I burned myself out on that game, and honestly, the second playthrough ruined... any chances that game had of Game of the Year for me. But, yeah, I'm assuming we're going to talk about the other games in a bit, or what?
Yeah.
We're getting there. Okay. But Javi.
Okay.
Spit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have a question, though. Like, with Borderlands 2.
Shoot!
Like, I understand the second playthrough is harder, and you say, I guess it's too hard, it's cheap.
It's cheap, it's frustrating, and it's just, it feels tedious. It's tedious, and it feels like a chore to do pretty much everything.
Yeah, well, I would put all those labels onto Uncharted 1's crushing mode also. It's cheap, it's tedious, and it fucking sucks dick, but that doesn't hurt the game. Like, I mean, like, when I played it initially, it doesn't take anything away from playing the game
I just felt no sense of accomplishment. Oh my god, am I almost to the end? Oh, come on, chugging through it.
I'm just asking the validity, like, that second playthrough. It's still the same game, it's just bullshit. Bullshit hard.
Yeah, so exactly. The first playthrough is extremely enjoyable. Once you get to that second playthrough, you might as well turn it off, because you're not going to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It becomes an MMO and a loot grind, which no game should strive for. Which, honestly, they did.
All right.
I know how much you say, like, you hate MMOs and shit, mm-hmm. and at the end, some of the bosses that are like level 50 are seriously balanced for the shit you have to grind for.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's not worth it.
Yeah, the bosses are fucked in that game. Or at least, like, the invincible bosses. Yeah, they're totally fucked.
Alright, it's time for my game, I guess?
Yes, sir!
Alright, well, it's kind of strange choosing the game I'm going to choose, because I literally played through it last week. So it hasn't really had time to marinate, but the time that I did spend with it was, like, honestly the most fun I've had in a long time. And it's also, like, the next day, you know, I was telling everybody that, like, I haven't felt like a little kid on Christmas or on his birthday, you know, just sitting down and playing a video game with that sense of that determination, like, oh my god, oh, one more level. Oh my god, oh, that's cool! One more level, you know, until I played Black Ops 2. So, Call of Duty Black Ops 2 is my favorite game this year, or the game that I had the most fun with this year. I loved almost everything about it. At first, it was kind of like kind of shaky beginning, like, so much of this takes place in the 80s. I don't know what's going on exactly, but as the story went on, like, I started to recognize character names, started to, like, get a hang of the story they were trying to tell. And it is actually an interesting story. Like, it's a story about revenge and about, you know, basically the father's sins passing on to the son and having to deal with all this shit. And it was just really interesting, and it let you play as the villain for certain missions, and you kind of see where he's coming from, and it was just cool. It was actually written by David Goyer, is that right? The guy that wrote The Dark Knight and Batman and Blade Trinity and all that. So, yeah.
Call of Duty loves to get those big name guys.
Yeah.
Even if they don't end up doing a lot.
Well, he was the writer.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like Hans Zimmer kind of did a uninspired soundtrack for Modern Warfare 2, but they were like, Hans Zimmer! He did our soundtrack! Look at it!
Alright, well, anyways. He did a good job writing it in this case.
I'm just saying in the past, but, you know, I want to play this, so.
Yeah. The weapons they created were fucking cool. There's like, this sniper rifle that reminds me a lot of Perfect Dark. It goes all heat vision, but you can, like, see through walls, kind of like the auger in Resistance. But the thing is, like, you don't just shoot and it goes all the way through everything. You have to charge up your bullets, so it uses up more rounds if you're shooting through more stuff or thicker stuff. So you hold down your fire button, and you see on the right it's all beep, 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 and like once you it'll shoot through and hit the target that you're aiming at, the grid will turn green, so you know when to let go. It's just really cool, and really it felt right, and the sounds are amazing, really good mix there. Like we were saying on an earlier podcast, they did try to innovate by putting in that RTS stuff, and it I don't know. I only played the very first one because that's the only one you have to play, and it's that first one was bad. You're supposed to defend three different points, and you have only like two like squads, and then one mech, and then a turret that's set in place. So like, you can send the mech to defend one thing, and then with the squads you can only send them out in like the individual groups that they're already in. So you can send one squad here, one squad there, and then you just end up with a mech by itself defending one of the things, which doesn't work, and then the squad's getting murdered, and you're just like, well, fuck, what do I do, you know? And so it was just a train wreck, and they didn't really ease you into it at all. I don't know how they let that fly, but yeah, so I had a really bad first impression with that, but there's like three or four, maybe five other missions like that I had completely skipped. They might get better. You might have more to play with. I'm not sure. So, but it was a cool, interesting idea. I think it could be cool. I appreciate, what is it, freaking Treyarch for trying that out. Anyways, Black Ops 2, like, I played the multiplayer too after I finished the game, and it was a ton of fun. I was, like, getting really into it. I couldn't stop playing. So, yeah.
I miss Call of Duty 4.
And Call of Duty is not my kind of game, you know? It's never been. Ever. But, yeah, Black Ops 2 was great for me.
Was it?
Yeah.
I played a few of the levels in the campaign. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, I just really, I don't know, I was fascinated by the technology. And also, like, look, a lot of the game is on rails and just kind of like, hey, look at this pretty thing we designed and animated and blew up or whatever, you know? And I get that. But I was looking at it kind of through the eyes of a child, I think. You know, I wasn't looking at it as a critic, like, oh, that's lame. They just lock you in here and it's just so they can show you, you know? I was looking at it going, oh, man, that's cool. Ah, that's cool. You know? Like, just... lay it on me, Treyarch. Just show me the cool shit you want to show me. You know, I wasn't going in skeptical or, you know, looking to judge this franchise because it's so popular and it's popular to hate it. You know,
Show me the money.
So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe with that mindset, you can enjoy it a lot more, but maybe people don't want to be in that mindset.
Stop being so pretentious.
Anyways, yeah, Black Ops 2. It's fun.
Tight. I haven't played it.
I want to check it out.
There's a lot of drama. There's a lot. One thing I will say that there is still a lot of betrayal. 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 Everybody's turning on you. But it's almost like a Quantum of Solace, where, like, you know, Judi Dench is all like, they always say that we have people everywhere, but you never believe them. But, you know, but it actually is true. In that movie, that it's that kind of thing. Mm. Or like the villain has people everywhere, which is kind of cool.
That's real neato.
Many spies with many eyes.
So he was kind of like De Silva.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit of Skyfall.
That's pretty cool. I like De Silva.
Yeah,
I like Skyfall.
Who doesn't?
Oh, just a side note. I saw Skyfall again this weekend, and
over The Hobbit? Long...
No, I saw The Hobbit too.
Oh, okay. But
that scene where what's his name? Anthony Bourdain. That's not his name, is it?
Anthony Bourdain's my hero. He's not in Skyfall, you dick. He's not...
What's the guy's name? I don't know his name. Fucking Silva. We'll just call him Silva.
Oh, Javier Bardem.
Yeah, Bardem. I said Anthony Bourdain, didn't I? But it was the like that opening monologue he does when you're first introduced to him, and when he like grabs Bond's legs and kind of does that like very flamboyant remark, or has that flamboyant remark. Somebody behind me just leaned over to her friend and just went, "This is so fucking gay." I can't laugh too loud. Oh my god.
And he said, "No reservations." And you're like, "Oh yeah, Anthony Bourdain's on TV."
Javier Bardem, Anthony Bourdain. They're the same fucking vowels.
No, one of them can cook.
I'm sure Bardem can cook.
Whatever.
But do you know?
Either way. Sidetrack over. Let's go into our honorable mentions for our lovely games.
Horrible mentions.
Horrible mentions.
Let's get Journey out of the way.
Yeah, Journey.
You guys,
well,
you guys
we can
that.
We don't have to really talk. Like, Journey's been talked about so much.
You all know Journey's good. How good it play is. Yeah. Ryan thinks it's not a game. That's it.
I still liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Journey is what it is. Obviously, has to be mentioned.
The Walking Dead is not a game either. It's a story.
Walking Dead, Clementine's written better than probably anything this year. Play that if you haven't. That's also been talked about a lot. So
yeah, a lot of people have been complaining about the mechanics of the game, and I guess that's kind of like all point-and-click adventures. Like, I've never really played one that was like, oh, this controls great. So, I don't know. I've only played, like, the first chapter, and yeah, there was a lot of that, like, go over here. No, over here.
Yeah, I played I played all the Back to the Future that I could handle. That game was fucking terrible.
Yeah, well, I've played a lot of, like I said, Sam and Max in my day, so.
Yeah. Like, Walking Dead, it's more of the same, but it's more polished. There's less fucking weird audio hiccups everywhere, and it's well written, and like I don't know.
Sam and Max nice is very well written, and I've never really Sam and Max has never seemed too buggy. I heard that Back to the Future was more so like Back to the Future was probably worse off than any of the Sam and Max.
It was buggy.
Games.
It was ugly. It had
stupid.
It was stupid. Yeah, it was a bad story.
But yeah, Telltale's had not done a lot of good recently, and then this was like a nice surprise to have. And I mean, it's nice to see a game, like a different kind of genre that's been kind of pushed to the side for a while, a point-and-click adventure.
This is a game that had a different objective. It was about depressing the player. Like, they want to make you as miserable as possible, but because of what the situation these characters are in. That's awesome. They nailed it. That's really good. So,
yes.
Yeah. So yeah, Walking Dead. The Walking Dead and Journey, we don't need to really elaborate on. But
another one we can talk about that I know we've all played that I think we should go ahead and knock out of the way is Borderlands 2.
Yeah, Borderlands 2. Writing's really
great,
funny.
Man.
Especially in the Tor DLC. Tor DLC is like, the missions are pretty fucking boring and kind of dull, but you just love hearing Torg talk, because he doesn't talk.
Because
he just screams.
Man.
Yeah, he's Macho Man. Except he has he has a censored vocal box. So
really,
he can't actually swear. So everything's bleeped out.
That's awesome. I've been meaning to go get the season pass since I finished it, so I can get all the DLC. Yeah. But the writing was definitely strong in that game. The characters were really well written for once.
Yeah, disappointing that the playable characters are still kind of handled like they were in the first game. And
it's like I said, I can see this thing where they just, like, the next game just explains the story of these characters.
Elaborates on Maya and Salvador and all these people.
They just keep
It's
just a vicious cycle.
Rick is going to be the best character for life.
What are you talking about, Slab?
God damn, you make me proud, Slab!
Slab, did you just jump from the top of the crow's nest?
The buzzard's nest!
Oh, whatever. Sorry.
Oh, God.
It was a bird of some sort, and it was very high, and it was a nest.
Yeah. But Borderlands is just so flashy and just colorful and so fun to look at and do shit in.
Yeah.
That, it's very cool. Hard not to like.
Yeah.
Javi.
Huh?
Well, you never played it.
What, Borderlands?
He did. PC.
Well, the second
I have it.
Yeah.
Did you play it? You didn't play it much.
Yeah, I played enough.
I think you got to, like, level 15.
But
what? Miss Murphy Child says Borderlands 2 is her game of the year, and she says she would have been completely satisfied with it if it was exactly like the first one, but it expanded beyond the original in every means possible, and it makes it her only option for game of the year. Fun to play, hysterical writing, lovable characters, great co-op, 100% satisfaction.
Word, yo.
What a glowing review.
Glowing.
Like, right now, I'm kind of dulled out on Borderlands, but that's because I played it so fucking much. Hopefully the next DLC ups the level cap, and I'll have an excuse to go back in it. But, yeah, Borderlands.
Sleeping Dogs.
I didn't play it. I want to.
It's fun to beat shit up. Driving around is kind of like, whatever. It's fine, whatever. But the city was pretty, and I don't know, I haven't beaten it yet, but I heard that... Mm. Like the whole time you're playing the game, it starts culminating. It looks like it's going to culminate into this big explosion where you have to decide between being a cop and being, a triad. You know, because you start to walk the
being
line
a not
and
cop.
It's fucking with you.
I said being a not cop.
Huh?
Not cop.
Yeah. So, but I heard that it doesn't really do that, or it doesn't... pay off, so that's unfortunate. But I don't know. I haven't beaten it yet, so I don't know. But what I've played is so much fun. It's fun. Ah.
Yeah. Heidenweiss agrees. He says that he doesn't think he's had more fun with the game this year than he did with Sleeping Dogs, so...
Yeah, the fighting system's great.
I would have picked it up, but it came out right after I finished Saints Row the Third.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just like that kind of free roam, open world, do what the fuck you want to do.
Oh, I like the shooting. Like, there is shooting, you can have guns, but it really takes a backseat to the combat, like the fighting.
The hand-to-hand.
And fighting feels good, man. And it's nice to have an open world game that's not just drive here, shoot people. It's drive here and kick the fuck out of all these guys, and you have all these environments to smash them into, and it's so violent.
I love that you don't have to just kick the fuck out of them. You can just take them over to the little radiator next to the wall and bang the fuck out of their head.
Yeah,
right up against that thing.
Stick their head in a car and smash it.
Yeah.
That and Dishonored were games I wanted to get on Black Friday, but then I looked at my stack of games and went, it can wait. It can probably
Dishonored's
wait.
Dishonored's cool. It bad story, but cool world, fun game. There were a lot of those that were fun, but had really stupid stories this year. Dishonored, Far Cry 3, Halo, in my opinion, but, I digress. Speaking of Far Cry 3, Ashish Galamudi says that's his game of the year, and I'd say it's definitely up there for best shooter. Like I said before, the story just really spirals out of fucking control in terms of goodness after about 2 or 3 hours, where you're just like, oh, it's just doing the same thing over and over again. This guy's crazy in this way, that guy's crazy in that way. I get it. I fucking
get
it.
You learn all sorts of definitions of insanity.
Oh, you.
Maybe it's all a metaphor, because Voss tells you the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting something different. So it's like, hey, we showed you this character, and
every
he's
time
crazy
I shoot
in
this
way.
Guy, they die. I don't
and he's
get
crazy
it.
In this way, and here's another character, and he's crazy in this way. So they're like the same thing, but did you expect something different? Oh, you're crazy then. You fell for it. You're crazy.
Yeah.
And then the end. Go eat the end.
Oi.
Oi, vey.
Okay, but, are you done with
Ryan, what's one of your honorable mentions?
Kingdoms of Amalur.
Aluminum.
I played the fuck
Aluminium
out of
going.
That game.
Oh.
Aluminium.
Yeah, I played the shit out of it. It was all, the combat system was super awesome. That's what kept me going. When you're able to flow through combos and, every hit feels solid and you're upgrading your weapons and you get to the point, or towards the end, at least, with the normal enemies, the bosses were kind of hard, but the normal enemies in general, when you're just tearing through them at the end and you've just become, I like that type of progression. I like it when a game, I guess I don't like, I feel weird saying easier at the end, but, like you feel like what you've been doing has been for something. You've become stronger. You've become to the point where you can just tear through all these guys with these awesome combos of, like, physical combat and then sorcery and, you know, casting spells and whatnot. So that game did a really good job of all that, and it was just a lot of fun, and it had a ton to do. Lots and lots of side missions, which is why I spent so many hours playing it. I really, really enjoyed that game. Did any of you guys played it, did you?
No, I want to, but it won't fucking go on sale.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We had this conversation.
It was the one game on Steam that didn't go on sale over the summer.
Hey, we got the holiday sale coming up, baby.
Holiday sale. Please, just...
Yeah, it is really disappointing that they haven't dropped the price, because I don't think that whoever's controlling that understands that if they drop the price, they'll sell more. Like, right now, selling it for $60, you're making $0. If you dropped it to $30, you'd make something. Dropped it to $20, you'd make a lot more. Like, it's a really good game, and it deserves to be played by more people. Selling it for $60 because you think you have to get 60 out of every copy is stupid. Like,
I blame especially Obama.
Especially on Steam, where it's just digital distribution. Like,
well,
copy,
exactly.
Copy,
well,
copy.
I'm looking at, like, the top sellers, and there's, like, Far Cry 3, and that's 50. I'd rather buy that for 50, and it's brand new.
Like, somebody isn't telling them the right things to do to move a
Rhode
game.
Rhode Island, get your shit together.
Yeah.
The popular development studio, Rhode Island, is really struggling with their pricing.
Yeah. They can't seem to find a good price point for their game.
Okay, so next up, I want to briefly mention something we talked about when Ashley Birch was on the podcast with us. It's 30 Flights of Loving, Brennan Chung's next game, and what's that series? I forget what the series is called. He has another game coming out called Quadrilateral Cowboy, which I have no idea what it's about, but it looks cool, I think. I think I'm thinking of the right game. Either way, 30 Flights of Loving is just a completely experimental narrative, and you don't do so much gameplay as you do, just like, you're along for a ride in this game, and just it's kind of seeing what works and what, like, how far the limits of storytelling are in, just in, like, a first-person fashion without any dialogue or, like, without any, like, words or anything. It's just, like, just you and characters in the game and just how you feel at the end of it. It's only, like, 13 minutes long. Like, I think that's the average time on a playthrough, but it's really cool stuff. You should definitely go check it out. Javi, one of your honorable mentions?
Little Big Planet Vita. I think it's right on par with Little Big Planet 2. You could argue it's better even, which is incredible. It's a Vita game. It's a little handheld. So that's unreal. I love that game. There's not much... Unfortunately, since it's so much like Little Big Planet 2, there's not much to say about it, you know?
Other than it's Little Big Planet and on a portable device.
Yeah, and it looks great.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah. Like, there's touchscreen stuff, but...
Touchscreen stuff is cool, because it's basically the Move integration without having to use a shitty controller.
I don't like the back touch thing, though.
Yeah, a lot of the time it doesn't
work. I just think that back touch pad is just too big.
It's
so
a mistake.
You can't really have your fingers
or they should
anywhere
have, like,
comfortably.
They shouldn't have, like, an entire pad. They should have, like, little...
Yeah.
Dots where you
that thing gets annoying, because there's some games like that free MotoStorm game or whatever that came out, like, didn't really explain how the touchpad works, so you'd be sitting on a menu and then they would just start moving and you're like, what the fuck is going on? It's because your finger was sliding slightly on the back touchpad, and that was a way to move between menus, and, like, things would flip over. Like, I would flip something over and then it would flip back over. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Like, I do like in Uncharted, when you have your sniper rifle up, you can slide your finger up or down to zoom in or out. That's kind of nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But also Resident Evil 6, that's a weird game to mention, I know, but I enjoyed it. I got more, it was a more positive experience than negative experience, because I get it. It's not scary. boo fucking who. It's kind of fun. There's mechanics there. There's new things in it that you can't do in any other game, even. But nobody wants to bring any attention to that. Instead, they
you
just
can
want
fall
to
down
sh-
on
shit
the floor
on it
and shoot things.
It's fun to make fun of stuff that doesn't live up to hype. Well,
don't
okay.
worry, Hav. We can play multiplayer next week. It's gonna be K.
Yeah. Anyways, Resident Evil 6. I enjoyed it.
Something I feel like one of us should be able to say is an honorable mention. It's like a weird thing to say. I don't think any of us played this. Was Unfinished Swan.
I really want to play.
I completely
I just
forgot
don't
about
spend
that.
$15
but,
on it.
But V Rank or Dangeresque 92 said on Twitter that that's his game of the year. It's he said crisp, innovative gameplay, touching, and great story. And it just seemed like that was another like experimental thing, an experimental game. Like it started out just like exploring environments and what you can make the player do, how you can make them want to progress without really knowing anything that's in front of them. And that's kind of something I tried to make myself do more this year, was just focus on more experimental games, because I've been playing games for a while now, kind of get the gist of these AAA titles, and I want to see what's going around in these little tiny markets. So I played things like Passage, 30 Flights of Loving, the one before 30 Flights of Loving, which I can't fucking remember. Had to think it had the word bone in it.
So progressive game.
Gravity Bone, yeah. So I just I tried to tried new things, but Unfinished Swan I didn't get to, because I don't know why, actually. Maybe I'll get to it soon. Who knows? I don't.
No one knows.
Dylan, what's one of your honorable mentions?
Maximum Pain 3.
Oh, boy.
Max Pain. Ooh. Which was really surprising, but I was surprised. Like, I was like, this is going to be a shitty-ass shooter, whatever. I'm going to try it out. My brother bought it. I popped that in, and I beat that thing in, like, 2 playthroughs. That game was fun as fuck.
What game?
Max Payne 3.
Ah.
That's, like, a game that, like, no one really talked about until after it came out. And it was all, like, really positive things.
Well, that had some impressive fucking technology behind it. Like, each round from your gun was rendered in-game. So, and you're like, he pulls the trigger on each pull. And it's really cool when, you like, it zooms in on slow motion. Just see Max pull the trigger each time and a bullet comes out each time.
Hmm.
And then you just kind of watch it travel and hit a guy in the face. And it's really brutal. But, anyways, just, like, seeing Max move around is really cool. Like, jumping over tables and stuff and leaning against shit when you're close enough to it. It's fucking impressive. And that's not even talking about the gameplay. I just had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Really, the only gripe I had with it was bullet time was too much of a liability. Which is really disappointing when you think about it. But bullet time was a liability in the second game, I believe, too. So it's kind of like, I kind of wish it would go more like, when you go into bullet time, yeah, like, you have to earn up your bullet time, but when you go into it, it's really rewarding. But that's kind of like my only complaint with it. It had, I'd say it had the most satisfying gunplay I've experienced this year. Yep. I didn't touch multiplayer at all. I didn't care. Oops.
Shots fired. Get it. Whatever. Secret Tunnel said on Twitter that his game of the year is Rhythm Heaven Fever. He said that it's just pure bliss.
See, I hear Rhythm Heaven, and I think it's Sound Shapes.
Is Rhythm Heaven like a...
It's a rhythm-based platformer. I don't know, I'm just making that up.
Is it like Elite Beat Agent or something? It's a 3DS game, right?
I don't know.
I don't know anything about this game. The only reason I heard about it before was from Secret Tunnel.
What's that game where you put your Wiimote on a cardboard box and then you tap the cardboard box with your fingertips and that's how you play it?
Boring.
Was that Rhythm Heaven?
No.
I think so. I'm gonna Google it. Anyways.
Questions that need answering with Javi and Gabe. I'm all done with my honorable mentions. Who else has got some?
The other thing I had was Penny Arcade Adventures. Mostly like the story was, I know Javi hated the art, but
Let's Tap, my bad.
What?
Let's Tap.
No. Penny Arcade Adventures. Just really funny game overall, and so I really like the story in that. I definitely kind of like the combat system of the older games. Like it was nice to have somebody come in to finish up the story after things kind of fell apart with now I don't remember their name, the guys that did the first two Penny Arcade games, but I don't know. Hothead, is that right? Yeah, I think that was it. But yeah, funny games, fun time, RPG style, 16-bit. Go play it. It's cheap. It's like $5, I think. So that was it for me.
Javi, any more honorable mentions from you?
Nope.
Dylan?
Nope, I'm good. Unless you guys want to hear me talk about Zone of the Enders for an hour.
No.
Okay.
Next week, we'll let you talk about
Zone of the Enders. Next week's Zone of the Enders cast.
Yeah.
Starring me.
I guess, real quick, I'd just say, play Mark of the Ninja if you haven't. It's really fun. Stealth 2D action adventure, I guess. It's really pretty looking. It's like the Shank guys, I'm pretty sure. They finally did something entirely right. Yay. Yay for Klai Studios. I think that's how you say it. Whatever. Alright. I think that's it?
That's it? Did we cover everything from Twitter and mail and all that stuff? That was all kind of mixed in there.
Mool.
Yeah. Flawlessly integrated.
Yes.
Well done, intern. You can have a quarter.
Yep. Oh, wow. That's more than I've gotten from that fucking movie theater in about 4 months.
Oh.
Snap! Snap! Snap!
I'm sorry you're poor.
Hey, me too. Alright. Wait, so what do we do for housekeeping? Like, doesn't somebody usually knock? Or something?
Oh, I hear something.
Housekeeping!
Hey!
Sorry, Ryan, that was me.
Oh, never mind. No one's at the door. No, she's not here. What the fuck? No, I'm just kidding. She's totally here. Shut up, Dylan.
Totes here.
Hi, Lori.
Hey, what's up?
So, hey,
Ryan, did you fall down the stairs?
Of course you did.
Huh?
Oh. Hmm? I
He fell down the two stairs on his porch.
Damn it!
All right, well, I guess if you want to write into the show, you can get us at mail@gameovernation.com or on Twitter @GameOverNation. You can also go to Facebook, facebook.com/GameOverNation. You can check out our YouTube page.
Give us a like on Facebook, guys.
Yeah, do that.
We're getting up to 250, and that's huge. It's huge.
But we'll give something away at 300. So keep on telling people to come like us, because we'll give something good away. Check out
Facebook,
the YouTube.
Facebook's definitely the easiest place to just talk with us over the week, too. So if you ever just say, like, hey, Gabe, what'd you have for lunch today? I can tell you, Turkey Club.
He can tell you nothing, because I'm poor, and I have no money, and I can't eat.
That would have been yesterday.
Oh, okay. But go check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/game0vernation. I don't know. What else? I think I hit everything.
Follow all of us?
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at @AirstrikeRhino. Gabe is at @RabbitWombat9. Dylan is Dr. Raw Dog Claws right now, still?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then Javi is JaviG0N.
That's me.
Yeah.
Hi, doggy.
Hi, doggy.
And if you're looking for me, and mine says Wild Bill, instead of Ryan De La Rosa. That's because the other night, me and some people changed all of ours to our Spirit G.I. Joe member. And I
it's
was
not even Christmas
I was
themed.
Wild Bill. I know.
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm sorry. So it'll be Wild Bill for a little bit. Anyway. Yeah, so that's it. That's how you can find us. That's all the places. And also at GameOverNation.com, I guess. Go there. Go look at
that. Yeah, just a little site you may have heard
just
of.
Just a little site. So yeah. Javi. Let's knock this shit out the park.
Clock us out.
That's it for episode 71 of Game Over Nation. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for sticking with us all these years. We look forward to doing more next year.
If we're not dead.
If we're not dead.
Yeah, me and Javi got some good plans for next week.
Yeah.
If we're not dead.
If we're not dead. There's a big asterisk on everything we're talking about right now.
And that asterisk is if we're not dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll catch you guys next week. If we're not dead. Wait, no, we won't be doing a show next week.
No, we won't.
But the site will be flowing with content that you can enjoy while you're stuck at your parents' house for Christmas.
Oh, I hate relatives.
Mm-hmm. They're the worst.
That just made me think of like a shitty infomercial. Like, beginning of,
are
like,
you tired of your relatives?
It's an infomercial to like fix your shitty family ties or something. I hate my relatives though. And Billy Mays is just gonna come back from the dead and fix all your problems.
Yep.
It's gonna make everything okay, babe.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so okay. I guess we're done.
Yeah.
Bye,
so we'll
everybody.
Catch you guys next time. Bye-bye. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.